And rightly related to the Holy Spirit means that we'll experience God's power in our life, and sometimes in a variety of ways, like this kid pointed out, we'll experience God's leadership in our lives. We, through the Holy Spirit, receive so many things. In Scripture, there are times where it talks about the Holy Spirit, like the Holy Spirit is the one who actually literally takes us and puts us into Christ, and how the Holy Spirit puts us in a fellowship with each other called the church, and how the Holy Spirit works in our lives in such a way that we become identified with what Christ did for us. The songs that we sang this morning talked about how the Holy Spirit identifies us so much with what Jesus did on the cross that we, it is as if we died and now live. The Holy Spirit is at work in our lives, according to Scripture, on a day-to-day basis. There are all these things that we'll touch base on here this morning. But I wonder, you know, sometimes the Holy Spirit seems a little mysterious. So people think, what do you mean, Holy Spirit? Any ideas that sometimes you think get tagged with Holy Spirit? Yes?
I think
of the scripture
that speak about
the Holy
Spirit.
Okay. The work of the Holy Spirit. Can you just off the top of your head list some of the things that you remember the Holy Spirit does? The counselor.
And he does bring conviction to us. He's our helper. That's all my neurons are popping up right now.
Well, you've almost covered the first point that I was going to make. Excellent. Thank you. Squiggly?
Squiggly and boo-boo.
And boo-boo. That's kind of the thing, because the Holy Spirit is, in a sense, mysterious. It involves, when I say mysterious, mystery. There's the whole thing of mystery with this, and Jesus even takes up the image of the Holy Spirit being like wind. And we'll take a look at that here in just a moment. Yes. So, guide and comfort. The Holy Spirit is a guide and comfort. And in a time when a person was dying, it was like God put a blanket around you?
Yeah.
Huh, of comfort. Something
is doing that work.
So there are times when you are prompted to do something and you wouldn't otherwise think that way. Is that right? You're kind of tuning into, well, this is different. It's not just my thinking here. This is taking me in a direction that I wouldn't normally go or otherwise go. Okay? Great.
Thank you.
When Scripture stands up off the page.
That I feel like I've never seen that one before. How did that get there?
Very good. So that would refer to Christ as teacher or counselor. He shows us. I mean, the Holy Spirit as teacher and counselor. Sure.
Advocate.
When you hear the word advocate, what do you think of, Diane?
He's on my side.
He's on your side. He's for you. Pleading your case. Okay?
I also see the Spirit as my motivator.
Motivator. Really?
Because as humans, we struggle with, we might get a thought, and it could very well be that nudge from the Spirit, which I've come to listen closely to. But as a human, we may still struggle with whether we want to obey that nudge or not. When I have the ability to remind myself of where that nudge may be coming, then that is the motivator.
Okay.
My desire to obey based on my allegiance with God, that Spirit has been my motivator.
So in this motivation, it's like you get an idea that you think may be God's guidance, but then there's the doing of it.
Uh-huh. Is this to honor God?
Mm-hmm.
And if I should be able to say yes or no, then there comes my motivation to proceed.
The motivation is, is this like push to act?
An obedience.
To obey.
Motivation to obey.
Okay. Yes.
I get the opposite. I get that. Sit down and leave it alone.
Very good. Anybody identify with that?
Yeah.
Leave it.
I grew up always knowing I had a conscience, but I never knew where it came from. And it wasn't until I was much older that I realized that it was the Holy Spirit talking to me. When I would be in a situation where I knew I could do one of two ways, the conscience always won out.
Ah.
And they were the right thing to do.
Okay. These are great. Wonderful. So we're going to continue taking a look at the idea of how the Holy Spirit is at work in our lives, and many of the things that you've mentioned kind of relate to these four ways that the Holy Spirit works: counselor, a guarantee, coach, and giver in our lives. And there are some of the texts that we'll take a look at. The first one, when we think about the Holy Spirit, I'm trying to think broadly that these are things that we share with all believers, all Christians, here in this community and around the world. And so the idea is that the Holy Spirit bears witness that the Father is the one who is for us, that the Son is the one who is with us, and that the Holy Spirit is the one who is in us. Most Christians worldwide would recognize those as truths about who the Father is, who the Son is, and who the Holy Spirit is. Here's that passage of Scripture I was talking about. Sometimes the Holy Spirit seems a little ethereal, but Jesus talked about the Holy Spirit in this way. The wind blows wherever it pleases, and you hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it's coming from or where it's going. And so it is with everyone born of the Spirit. That's quite an image there. The Spirit is moving, and basically you can see its effects. You don't see the Spirit, but you see its effects. Now, according to our text, where do you see its effects? In the things that touch us. That's very true. And so it is with everyone born of the Spirit. That's where this shows up. It shows up in people's lives. The effect of it, the effect of the Holy Spirit, shows up in people's lives as we are in Christ. I mentioned how the Holy Spirit puts us in Christ, and Christ, the Holy Spirit, comes to dwell within us. And there is an effect of that is to be lived out in our lives in a day-to-day basis. And it is mysterious in the sense that it's hard to explain. We experience it. We've used the word nudges at times. It sends us a particular direction. There's imagery sometimes that people experience, and they experience God in terms of an image, and yet they know what that image means. They understand what it tends to give direction. There are experiences that we have that are like that. I'm still getting over our Battleground community get-together we had last Sunday evening, and it was incredible. It was just incredible. 10 churches that got together to pray for our community and celebrate the goodness of God. After 4 weeks of taking a look at loving our community in deeper ways. At one point, they called the pastors up and asked the congregation, this was somewhere around 250 people there, to pray for the pastors, and they all came up and they kind of laid their hands on the pastors, and I was just humbled. I thought, it's incredible. I'm being prayed for by people from other churches here, and their prayers were so passionate and so earnest and so clear, asking God to be at work in me. But one of the things that was a little wild in the moment, this doesn't happen to me often, somebody laid their hand on my back, and the heat from his hand went through my body, just whoosh, like this, as he was praying. And the effect of it was that I was comforted. I love that blanket image that caught my, I just extremely comforted and encouraged and filled to the brim. It was just a remarkable experience in the Spirit. That's what I mean by sometimes you know what it is. The Holy Spirit worked through this person as they prayed for me, and it just filled me and refreshed me. So that's an example of, it's hard to tell how that works. It doesn't happen all the time, but in that moment, God showed up for my sake because of the prayer of this person. Well, there's some ways that the Holy Spirit works in our lives, and I'd like to address some of those. One is counselor, and this is drawn from John's Gospel. One of you mentioned, let's see, Brenda, you mentioned the text on the Holy Spirit from John's Gospel. Would you read with me? "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever." Now, when you see the words "another counselor," what does that make you think? What's that? Jesus is also a counselor. In what way was he a counselor? What ways? Yes? He was a teacher. He taught truth. He was an example, a walking example. He could say, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." This is the nature of what God is like. Someone else. Yes. He was an inspiration. Yes. He was an inspiration. Yes.
And he offered correction. A counselor would sometimes call you
on stuff. Ooh. Oh, yes. There is that. Which is healthful. It is life-giving when we really understand it. That God is trying to do God's work in us through this avenue of how God is a counselor. God is trying to do God's work in us. I will give you the Father, and he will give you another counselor, like me, to be with you forever, because he was going away. And we see that in the next text. But I tell you the truth. It is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I'm going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. Any thoughts or questions raised in this reading of the word? So, Janet, you were talking about correction. Initially, before we come to know God through Christ, there's a ministry of the Holy Spirit still called counselor. This counselor is sometimes translated advocate, like a legal advocate, same word. This advocate comes to make Christ's claim. And somehow, this advocate speaks to us within our inner being, and there's the sense, I think this is true. I think this is right. I think this is where God is at work. And so, in regard to sin, because men do not believe me, this is where he says, the Holy Spirit comes to bear witness to me about our unbelief. And bear witness to us about our own involvement in the human condition. The human condition being wonderfully created and yet broken because of sin. Comes in and helps us understand the weight of that we even individually have the seeds of sin within us. And were it not for his Holy Spirit, we would be in a world of hurt. The Holy Spirit comes and makes this case with us individually. And he says, in regard to righteousness, because I'm going to the Father, he was that living example, like I was talking about earlier, that living example of what God is like and what humanity is intended to be like. From the time that we accept Christ, the Holy Spirit begins to help us understand the Christ-like life. What is it? How do I live this life that ends up looking more like Christ as I grow in him? In regard to judgment, that's just simply about it, there is an accounting eventually. There's an accounting. The prince of this world has already been judged, and his accounting will come due. And it would be true for any of us were it not for Christ, that we would as the evil one or the prince of this world, stand condemned were it not for what Christ has done for us. So he's bearing witness on this end, sometimes correcting, very often helping channel us into a more productive path, not only before we come to Christ, but following that. Would you continue to read with me about how the Holy Spirit is our counselor in John 16, verses 12 through 13. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine, and that is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. So here, everything that Jesus said and did and was and all that he shows us in pointing us to fellowship with the Father, all of that is what the Holy Spirit begins to use in our lives to help us become more like Christ. And that's why those impressions and those nudges, sometimes it moves us into action. It also, as Diane pointed out, makes the words jump off the page. Suddenly, words that didn't mean something are suddenly very, very meaningful. They're appropriate for the time. They are something that ministers to your inward being, enlarges you as a person. This is the wonderful work of the Holy Spirit, for which we should give thanks this month, to give thanks for the way that the Holy Spirit works in us. So the Holy Spirit comes to us as counselor. The Holy Spirit comes to us as also as a guarantee. Let's take a look at this. Would you read with me? "And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked with promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory." My voice fell off there when I didn't get that quite said. You were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. And when we think about seals, what is that all about? What do we use seals for, like this?
Letters.
We use them for, we seal letters up with them. Okay, it must be of importance. It's true, yes, that it marks that it came from actually the person who is said to come from. Okay? It's genuine. It's the genuine stuff. So the Holy Spirit's talked about as a seal in our lives. It marks us out as genuine stuff. What would you expect from genuine stuff?
Genuine stuff.
Genuine stuff. Genuine stuff. It would be, it seems like, marked by Christ-likeness. That we would be becoming more and more like the Christ who saved us. Now, so the Holy Spirit is given as a guarantee, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit as a guarantee. Now, it's an interesting next thing. The Holy Spirit is a guarantor. It said deposit, didn't it? This amazing Holy Spirit that's at work in our lives to help us become more like the Son in word, in deed, and in perspective is a deposit. What do you think of with the word deposit? That's cool. I've never thought of it that way. That's cool. Yes.
I think of a deposit as reassurance. So like if you're putting a deposit on like a house or a car, then you can rest assured that that's going to transpire, that it's yours. So it's almost like it kind of gives you a security that you can count on that.
So the Holy Spirit is given to us as to help us with a sense of security. But I think that's a very good, what would you call it, an application of that, a sense of security. that the Holy Spirit is the deposit and promise of the thing to come. And we do this all the time with down payments, don't we?
I never thought of myself as being on layaway.
You're on layaway. Rob's on layaway. He's on layaway. It's excellent. Yes.
When you put a deposit on something, it's going to belong to you. And so when Christ put a deposit on you, you are going to belong to him. And it feels good to have someplace to belong
to.
By something or someone.
Okay.
It's also like an engagement ring.
Like an engagement ring. Okay. So, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance? That's what's waiting. We put the down payment on the house, and with the hope that eventually what's waiting is the home, the keys to the home, and eventually owning the home. And the Holy Spirit is God's deposit, guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession. So there's a lot in store. Everything that God does for us from the time we choose Christ to the time that we see Christ face to face is what the Bible calls salvation or redemption. And look what we have even at the end of time. It's to be with him forever. And then the Holy Spirit is a guarantee. And in Revelation, the family get-together is talked about like a great supper, a wedding feast. A wedding feast. I just love that idea. Yes.
I read that one day, and I thought, party! We're going to
And like the song says, it will be worth it all. Whatever happens here, it will be worth it all for them. So the Spirit is a guarantee. The Spirit is also a coach. It says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Well, I don't know what images come to your mind. This is one that came to mind. The drum major is marching along, and everybody else is supposed to be marching with the drum major, right? Okay, how many of you took band? Marching band? Marching band? Okay. Did you ever have any accidents? Oh, yeah? I did. Everybody else was going this way while I was going this way. That kind of an accident? Not quite. Okay, well, that was my accident. I was going the other direction. So anyway, this is just kind of an image that came to mind. The Holy Spirit, let's go back to the text. Since we live by the Spirit, that is, we're meant to live in constant communion with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is within us, and everything about Christ-like character that's produced in our life is caused by the work of the Holy Spirit in and through us. But since we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step by the Spirit. In the one sense, we are living and we're receiving power. In the other sense, we're receiving direction. We're being directed in our walk with him. So that's the next one. And the Holy Spirit as giver, the one who gives us gifts. In this, God is extremely wonderfully at work in his church and among us. The uniqueness that I see in each of you and see how God uses you at times for my benefit or for the benefit of the rest of the people in the body of Christ is so heartening. It's so encouraging to see how God is at work in your lives. And it's important then, if that's the case, to make ourselves available to God, to be used of God, because we are here for each other, meant to encourage and bless each other. Would you join me in a word of prayer? I'd like to ask our worship team if they would come forward at this time. Would you join me in a word of prayer? We pray, Heavenly Father, that you'd be at work in our lives through the Holy Spirit so that we can keep in step with you, the Holy Spirit. We know that this is a lifestyle and that it's learned. We pray that your Holy Spirit be with us so that when especially we have need of your direction, of your encouragement, of your coaching, teaching us how to live not just a life, but to live well here on this earth and to live well with each other. We pray that you would be at work in our lives to that end. We ask this in your wonderful name. Amen. And they'll lead us in a fine song.